Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Edgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm speaking about overcoming evil." Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 to 21. This is the book of Romans, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." The word evil in Strong's is number 2556. It's a primary word meaning worthless. That is subjectively depraved or objectively injurious, bad, evil, harm, ill, noisome, or wicked. In the Living Bible, Romans chapter 12, verses 19 to 21 says, "Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. For He has said that He will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. Instead, feed your enemy if he's hungry. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, and you'll be heaping coals of fire on his head." In other words, he will feel ashamed of himself for what he has done to you. Don't let evil get the upper hand, but conquer evil by doing good. There is enough grace for everything God allows. Your struggle to overcome evil is part of growing up from a baby to a mature saint. Those who complain are still in nappies. We do not grow up by just gaining more knowledge, but use revelation to overcome. If you cannot overcome evil, your testimony is worthless and your life will lack meaning. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. This is in James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Verse 18. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures." God is not trying to make your life comfortable, but triumphant. You receive the Holy Spirit to make Jesus Lord and live an amazing, action-packed life with grace and truth, with the ability to set yourselves free from any lies you believe listening to your flesh. Scattered in the persecution for giving the good confession after humbling themselves, the new converts became the first fruits of true repentance. They got grace and truth, but needed more light surrounded by evil in different cultures. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The word evil in Strong's is number 4190. It comes from another word which means hurtful, or that is evil. The law was given to prevent the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, but the Jews did not want to pay the price. Doing for others what you would want them to do for you will prevent evil. By asking and obeying the Spirit in complicated situations, you will be given the ministry of reconciliation if you're born again. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those sowing to the flesh reap more evil and corruption. Galatians 6 and verse 8. The kingdom of God has everything you need by the Spirit. If you trust and obey, you will please God and fulfill your purpose on earth by faith as his servant. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 to 12. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, starting verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Verse 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In the Message Bible, Matthew 23, verses 8 to 10 says, don't let people do that to you, put you on a pedestal like that. You all have a single teacher, and you're all classmates. Don't set people up as experts over your life, letting them tell you what to do. Save that authority for God. Let him tell you what to do. No one else should carry the title of Father. You have only one Father, and he's in heaven. And don't let people maneuver you into taking charge of them. There is only one life leader for you and them, Christ. Do not let your flesh take the easy option. It doesn't like hard work, correction, want to learn through pressure, trials, and difficulties. Academic learning offers no relief from ways that seem right. Those making excuses for sin will elevate and help you function from the natural realm or have an outward form of righteousness as a leader for the sake of their flesh. Three things Jesus said to be aware of. Number one, enjoying the respect of being called a teacher based on knowledge and no fear of God or godly wisdom. Number two, being lazy, putting yourself under anyone else so you do not have to work hard, hear God under pressure, and trust God for your basic needs daily yourself. Number three, agreeing to lead others or a large group, providing financial or moral support that resists correction through truth and conviction. If you do not serve God 100% and rely on his power, you will serve the devil through the flesh again. The spiritual man can only see partially or dimly, but does not need knowledge to trust and obey. Knowledge will soon pass away. The least child of God living in his kingdom now has access to truth by the Spirit and can tell when someone is speaking the truth or not. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. This is in Hebrews chapter 12 I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Those left behind Jerusalem were complaining in humble circumstances, waiting for God to do something after being treated so unfairly by the religious Jews. They didn't like living among the heathen outside the walls of Jerusalem. The cloud of witnesses were the new converts scattered in the persecution, being used by God, preaching the cross in other countries. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 16 to 18. This is Romans chapter 12, I'm reading verse 16. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. The word mind in Strong's is number 5426. It comes from another word which means to exercise the mind, that is, to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion. By implication, to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction, intensively to interest oneself in, with concern or obedience. Set the affection on, be careful, be like, be of one, be of the same. And regard, savour or think. In the preacher's commentary, Cape and Ream Missionary Fellowship, D. Stuart Briscoe wrote these words. When the apostle talks about the mind, he means more than intellectual capability. The word he uses, phronein, goes far beyond casual interest. In other words, Paul reminds us that when it comes to spiritual life, everything is important and nothing is to be taken casually. There is a particular danger for Christians who have worked themselves into a comfortable, undemanding situation where they are confronted with little external challenge and have so come to terms with their own lifestyle that they see little or no necessity for deepening of their spiritual life. Without realizing it, they may have ceased to be ambitious for the things of the Spirit and may have lapsed into a kind of spiritual neutrality, which in reality is an ambition for the comfort of the flesh and an identification with the purely natural. In the Message Bible, Romans 12, verses 17 to 18 says, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. You will be exposed to a certain amount of evil to finish your race. If you cannot recognize the calling in others to deliver something special, you are identifying with the purely natural and will become baptized in lemon juice. You should have a testimony. You never met someone you did not like. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 to 38. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, and hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Verse 37. Judge not, ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with awe, it shall be measured to you again. Every day is an opportunity to repent as your spiritual education continues. Those following Christ love supernaturally. Judging is a fruit of being love deficient. Your lack of mercy is the problem. Authority is not the problem. The corruption is in you. Do not let rare opportunities for conviction and deep repentance slip away to become one of the fastest growing, fruit-bearing believers today. Even when others cannot repent, you can. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The word greater in Strong's is number 3187. It comes from another word which means larger, literally or figuratively, specifically in age, elder, greater or greatest or more. John the Baptist was the greatest or fastest growing of the Old Testament prophets. John learned how to overcome, find food and clothes by listening to God in the wilderness. He discovered that his flesh was the real enemy, and there were consequences for not getting up early before the heat of the day. He discovered that by thinking he did not overcome evil. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 to 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. The type of fruit you bring forth daily comes from the type of tree you are still connected to. Do not deceive yourself. Anyone can have an appearance of good with no pressure. Get on the narrow way before the devil makes your life comfortable with many excuses. You should have unplugged yourself from the flesh and planted yourself in Christ when you heard the good news. Those who go back to the wrong tree do not like conviction and correction. Peter was speaking in Acts chapter 2. Verses 36 to 38. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter told everyone boldly that the Jews had crucified their own Messiah. The church started with those convicted of killing the Christ personally in their hearts. Each of them saw how they had betrayed Christ like Judas Iscariot for the sake of their own personal beliefs and could not just say sorry. Those with the confidence in the flesh cried out with a loud voice on the day of Pentecost. Among the new converts were those that mocked Jesus on the cross when he was crucified outside the city. Other converts, carried along by the crowd, shouted, crucify, at the Passover, and let a convicted criminal called Barabbas go free in his place in front of Pontius Pilate. The cross of Christ proved how corrupt the Jews had become. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. This is Acts chapter 2, I'm reading verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. If you cannot receive correction and conviction gladly, then you are still corrupt and would have murdered the Christ back then. To receive forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, the Jewish converts had to repent deeply and be baptized in water in the name of Jesus. Stephen was speaking in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, and reading to verse 58. This is Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, have not kept it. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 56. And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. The news of the Messiah being killed was spreading fast through the preaching of the cross. The religious leaders came to stop this and found Stephen distributing food for the disciples, a believer filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen spoke boldly, but the religious Jews did not cry out in repentance when they were cut to the heart. Paul was convicted too, called Saul at that time, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus later. So Stephen did not die in vain. James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 19. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The word swift in Strong's is number 5036 of uncertain affinity. It means fleet, that is figuratively promptly or ready or swift. Now Webster in 1828 defined the word fleet as one swift of pace, moving or able to move with rapidity, nimble, light and quick in motion, or moving with lightness and celerity as a fleet horse or dog. 2. Moving with velocity as fleet winds. 3. Light, superficially fruitful or thin, not penetrating deep as soil. 4. Skimming the surface. The new converts were told to speak slowly about their own ways of doing things in another culture. First, they needed fruit proof, using overcoming grace to escape evil, find food and clothes by asking the Lord. When the Spirit directs, trust and obey, and you will overcome. God knows what the devil is doing. You should have responded swiftly to conviction when you heard the good news of salvation. Now act in the same way on his instructions to be a source of light to the rest of the world. Reacting is proof you've been overcome with evil instead. James continued in James chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 20. For the wrath of man which works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word filthiness in Strong's is number 4507. It comes from another word which means dirtiness, morally, or filthiness. The word naughtiness in Strong's is number 2549. It comes from another word which means badness, that is subjectively depravity or actively malignity or passively trouble, evil, malice or maliciousness, naughtiness or wickedness. Pursue meekness, 1 Timothy 6:11, and you will never be ignorant. As a new creature in Christ, develop your communication system with God by pursuing righteousness. If you're getting angry, you're not pursuing righteousness by faith. Two things the new converts had to lay apart. Number one, filthiness that comes from resisting conviction and making judgments upon the nations where they were scattered. The kingdom of God culture is righteousness, peace, and joy, even exposed to a new culture, very different to your own. Number two, an abundance of naughtiness is trouble or evil that accumulates from not acknowledging God and getting answers in all areas. In a major revival, things can move very fast and decisions need to be made quickly. Those not working on their ability to hear God in every area will be overcome and the revival will be hindered by ways that seem right. Keep asking the Lord consistently what to do in complicated situations. Otherwise, your soul will become corrupt again, making excuse for sin like everyone else. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The word morrow in Strong's is number 839. It comes from another word meaning a breeze, that is the morning air, properly fresh, that is adverbially the ellipsis of tomorrow or the next day. Those on the narrow way make time for the rightly revealed word because they love truth and conviction. If you are looking for a life without any evil through politics, then you are a lazy believer. In the kingdom of God, he provides a light breeze in the morning for you to hear his instructions, for you to follow by getting up before the devil gets up. It might be a quiet period of time during the day or night when no one else is around, if you're working different times or night shifts. Use quality time with God to process conviction and learn lessons from the previous day so you do not make the same mistake twice. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Those with a confidence in the flesh never escape evil. In another country, for example, you might end up missing the last bus or pay for more expensive options if you do not listen to God. You have not reached maturity just because you can hear God's voice in ministry or have the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Joseph Hedgecott described his experiences under a forward authority. that made him angry inside. He was able to relieve some malice, but learned and overcame. Malice is at the root of the following issues. Strong's references are indicated. Number 1, bitterness. Number 4088, a poisoning or corruption of the truth in your mind. Number 2, wrath. Number 2380, passion, as if breathing hard, fierceness and indignation. Number 3, anger. Number 3709, properly, desire as a reaching forth or excitement of the mind. That is, by analogy, violent passion, ear, or justifiable abhorrence, by implication, punishment, anger, indignation, vengeance, wrath. Number 4, clamor. Number 2906, outcry, notification, tumult, or grief, clamor, crying. Number 5, evil speaking. Number 988, vilification, especially against God, blasphemy, evil speaking, railing. Here are some comments you might make or think if you do not control malice. Number 1, the pastor's got a PhD, he should know better. Number 2, they've got money, so why don't they do it by themselves? Number 3, who says he's not able to help? I saw him helping someone else in the church. The church of Ephesus slowly became like the nations they were trying to reach around them. They were using their minds and turning to politics. You will be heated and cooked alive slowly like a frog in lukewarm waters. You will miss divine appointments for the sake of your flesh. The church was on a trade route in Asia, and exposed to nice things that only the rich could afford. They let the lust of their eyes and imaginations of the mind feed their hopes and dreams, and in the process lost their first love. You will find it difficult to forgive your brother from your heart if you've lost your first love. If you cannot hear the Spirit grieving because of the malice in your heart, you have become bitter. Paul wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You should have no opinion in any situation and come to truth easily through conviction or revelation. He will deliver us from difficulties or challenges following the great shepherd. A true shepherd will tell his people to ask the Lord what to do in complicated situations, because that is what they do. For God to raise you up, you must remain humble in a trial or difficulty. The time you remain in humble circumstances will become longer if you do not crucify and keep the flesh dead. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? For more information on the spiritual mind, please read chapter 14 on The battle for your mind in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually. If you cannot hear, trust and obey because you think too much, then God will use someone else instead. Those listening to conspiracy theories are blindly spreading fear, even in the church. Fear will paralyze your mind and hinder others hearing what they need to know in order to overcome evil. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading verse 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" What is in your heart eventually comes out of your mouth and will defile you when it does. By thinking how to answer, Jesus, the religious leaders, were putting evil in their own hearts. If you have come from a religious or political background, your hearts will be more evil. There is a time to think and there is a time not to think. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19. This is Matthew chapter 10. I'm reading verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Man was created in the image of God to say what God wants to say. You can only do this by grace. Your mind is not renewed at salvation. More knowledge will puff you up at a time when you need to be humble. God consistently uses the humble to represent him and say what he wants to say without becoming fearful. You need to be still and know God. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 37. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. If anyone asks you, what do you plan to do next? It will not be wrong to respond, I'm not sure yet, but I will do whatever the Lord tells me. Those walking by faith in the spiritual realm see dimly. To those with the confidence in the flesh, this appears foolish, as they will tell you to use your mind instead or say how you feel. James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. This is James chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Jesus needs to be Lord of all your communication. Much speaking is a source of evil. If the Lord is grieving, apologize and take back what you say. Friends on social media who are interested will stay in touch if they love the truth. In the Living Bible, Luke chapter 21 and verse 28 says, so when all these things begin to happen, stand straight and look up, for your salvation is near. This instruction by Jesus was for the last days. I've never met anyone using a smartphone standing and looking up. The last generation will have to break a habit of using smartphones, computers, and modern technology if they want to be ready for his appearing. You will not overcome evil relying on modern technology and earthly wisdom. David said in the Psalms, chapter 34, verses 8 and 9. This is in the Psalms, chapter 34, I'm reading verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. He already died for your sins so that you could confess them and get back in his presence immediately. To taste his goodness, establish Jesus as Lord. Go slowly in complicated situations, and you'll always hear God if you're born again. Accuracy in hearing God is more important than giving a quick answer. Do not be intimidated by those using their minds and modern technology to make decisions, as the fear of man is a snare. Fear the Lord instead. You can always say, let me pray about that first. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is Romans chapter 13, I'm reading verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You will get entangled in activities like sport or politics again if you have a confidence in the flesh and miss out on the greatest event on this planet, doing dead works that he is appearing. Joseph Hedgecock wrote 3 volumes with the title Wake Up, Time is Running Out. Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity. Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually. Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity. You may not want to read another book apart from the Bible. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 10. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. Any words directed by the Spirit with the right motive have authority to set the captives free through conviction and not bring condemnation. Joseph Hedgecock was careful in a series of books not to use sharpness, even with the title Wake Up, Time is Running Out. If you've ignored parts of his messages that produce the most conviction, you're still asleep. If you believe that all Christian books are basically the same, you have a confidence in the flesh. The written work of Paul was accepted by all the churches because he had the right fruit, overcoming evil in complicated situations. Even though Paul was not among the 11 apostles, his letters were accepted because of his fruit consistently overcoming evil in complicated situations. Joseph Hedgecock overcame evil on trips and reached over 100 countries with little or no financial support, printing books in many languages, his letters. The church may have failed to recognize Joseph Hedgecock as a true apostle. If you're representing SLM and cannot accept the written work of Joseph Hedgecock as sound teaching, you are resisting conviction. The Church of Rome did not believe the complete renewal of the mind was necessary. With great evangelistic results, they decided it was okay to use their minds to make decisions. Paul had to write a long letter so that everyone who wanted to walk in the truth could become a living sacrifice for God with time running out in Rome. In the Living Bible, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14 says, another reason for right living is this. You know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for the coming of the Lord is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day of his return will soon be here. So quit the evil deeds of darkness and put on the armor of right living, as we who live in the daylight should. Be decent and true in everything you do, so that all can approve your behavior. Don't spend your time in wild parties and getting drunk, or adultery, or on lust, or fighting, or jealousy. But ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you live as you should, and don't make plans to enjoy evil. In the Message Bible, Romans 13:11-14 says, make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. When I was teaching on Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, one major Christian leader made a comment to me in front of all his leaders. God is your father, not your mother. He later apologized privately to me after he asked God where to sit in an aeroplane on his next flight and had an amazing testimony. However, through pressure from his own people, Christ was never formed in him and could not accept the truth or invite me back to teach. The devil is stealing your inheritance while you make excuses for using your mind every day to make decisions. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and reading verse 5. Remember therefore from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. For more information on doing your first works, please read the introduction in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. There are many ways you can wake up to the truth, but you'll need to do your first works over again when you do. The last time you were awake spiritually, did you actually get on the narrow way? If not, why not? Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The narrow way provides the right amount of daily pressure in your face every day if you want to learn how to walk in the Spirit consistently. Those on the broad way have the wrong priorities. Are you interested in truth and conviction, or just keeping your flesh happy? If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one. Are you overcoming evil daily? And if not, why not? Number two, what opportunities for conviction growth have you failed to recognize through having a confidence in the flesh? Give three examples. Number three, have you ever made an effort to get on the narrow way? And if so, what stopped you from doing it each time? If you want to get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgehog. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgehog. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgehog. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgehog. Today, I've been speaking to you about overcoming evil. There is nothing that can stop you from overcoming everything in your path. God is in control, and He has provided everything you need. His kingdom is here now. You can experience His presence, even have joy in the midst of very challenging situations. This speaks volumes to other people who are still serving two masters. You are somebody that can share a personal relationship with God and reach out to others struggling in the darkness. Let me pray with you. I hope this message has challenged you and given you a vision of how you can overcome evil. Father, I pray that, Father, as they have listened to these words and hear these things, that this will give them a real desire to listen to your voice all the time and have no confidence in the flesh, that you have chosen them because they have believed in you and trusted in you, and now they want to function in every area, making you completely Lord in all areas. Father, bless them as they do that, as they make that decision, in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Thank you for listening, and it'd be great to hear from you. God bless you.